Alrighty. So, kick things off. Here's your question for the morning. How many of us go by a name other than what our legal name is? So by example, my name is probably one of the easiest ones. Obviously, my full name is Matthew, and I was Matthew for the vast majority of my life until I got to school, and my teachers decided that was way too many syllables and reduced it down to Matt. And ever since I've been in school, Mom still called me Matthew. That was always the name I used. Went by, but then in school I was Matt, and then when you have a last name like Redstone, Redstone's fun, right? You can Redstone, Red Rock, Blue Stone. I had a professor in Bible school call me Mr. Blood on a Rock, which really threw me off. But he did it because I had a meeting. He was the scariest professor in all of school, and we had to have a meeting with him about an assignment. And I came in, and he could just read it on my face. I was nervous. I was white. And he says that as I walk into the office, and just threw me off enough to relax. It was going to be okay. He wasn't going to tear me apart. But anyways, we often get these names. I've noticed in this corner of the province. I don't see it as much anywhere else as here. Lots of people go by their middle name instead of their first name. Seems to be a trend around here, which is I find really interesting. I've grown up with guys that had nicknames that they could not shake, no matter how hard they tried, right? And they're always really flattering, right? Like Slimer and, you know, that kind of stuff. People love those nicknames. But there's so much that goes into a name. And the way that we refer to one another says a lot about the relationship we have with them, right? We talk about political figures and sports athletes. We often refer to them by their last name because for athletes, it's the name that's on the back of their jersey, so it's easy to identify them. For political figures, you know, that's either just because it's easier, it could be, you know, kind of side and cheek. Now, I was thinking about this, probably get into trouble later, that's fine. Now we can pick on Trudeau, because he's not prime minister anymore. So now, I don't have to, I'm just kidding, and just, everyone calm down. It's just low-hanging fruit. It was too easy not to pass that one up. But there is a lot that goes into a name. And one of the interesting things as we dive into Scripture and what we're going to see this morning is that when in the Old Testament and the New Testament, when they were picking names, they didn't pick names based on how they sounded, right? How often, you know, nowadays we have these really weird and different names because they sound cool or they're just different or they go really well with my last name. But in those days, because a name had meaning, it was something that was not rushed into picking. It was something that was intentional. It was something that was because your name wasn't just what people refer to you by, it had a lot to do with your reputation. And that hasn't really changed, right? Your reputation is so often tied to your name, and the way that people talk about you or refer to you is often a reflection of who you are. And so this morning, as we continue to look at the Lord's Prayer, it is no small thing that Jesus starts off the prayer by saying, when you pray like this, and starts with our Father. So with that, I'm going to invite all of us. I'm going to put the Lord's Prayer up on the screen. We are going to recite it. Every time we meet during the course of this series, you are not allowed to recite it in Old King James, Old English. We are updating it. And I know that that's going to be hard for some of us, but you need to say it as it appears on the screen. And I will dive into the reasoning for that later. But here we go, starting in verse 9. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And do not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So Jesus starts, "Our Father." And this would have absolutely knocked his followers off their feet when Jesus starts this way. Because all throughout the Old Testament, what are the names we have for God? We have, in the Old Hebrew, we had names like Elohim, the strong one, El Shaddai, the mighty one, Yahweh, the name that shall not be spoken, because we don't want to mispronounce it and bring dishonor to God. Like, this is the God we're talking about. This powerful, mighty God who comes down and eradicates nations. And right all throughout the Old Testament, God is referred to in these strong, powerful names. Not that God isn't at times in the Old Testament shown to be loving and caring, right? There's imagery used like a hen who gathers her chicks and covers them with her wings. There's these really tender, loving imagery used to describe God. But whenever he's prayed to, it is always associated with strength. And so Jesus comes on in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, when you pray like this, "Our Father." Whoa! What? We get to refer to God as Father? Let's just let that one sink in a little bit. And this is oftentimes why there's lots of confusion about, well, the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament, because the God of the Old Testament was all fire and brimstone and destruction, and the God of the New Testament is Father, and he's Jesus, and he's love, and he's mercy. No, the reality is that God hasn't changed. We have the opportunity to call God our Father because of what Jesus has done. We have actually changed. By the blood of Jesus, you and I are adopted into God's family. And so he is not just some God that we pray to and hope he has mercy on us, but we come to him as Father. And this is so important for us to understand. And I think this is really important for us as we come into our prayer, that there is a closeness and an intimacy that we have with the Father that has never been had before. Moses, the great prophet, the one that stood in the presence of God and came down and his face shone, was never called Son of God. Abraham was called a friend of God, never called Son of God. Even David, a man after his own heart, was never called Son of God. And you and I get to claim the fact that you and I are sons and daughters of the living God because of what Jesus accomplished. This is huge. This is world life-changing. And yet, how often do we actually start our prayers addressing God as Father? As I was preparing and reflecting on this all week, I noticed how often I actually start my prayers with Lord or God, or refer to him in that way. And the Holy Spirit impressed on me. He's like, "Matt, take note of when you start your prayers with Lord and when you start your prayers with Father." And what I found is that I would start my prayers with Lord every time I'd done something wrong. If I had missed my devotions that day and I was feeling bad about it, my first prayer was always, "Lord, I'm sorry." But if I'd had my devotions and if I started my day right with my phone on the table and not looked at it and just started my day with him, it always started with Father. I said, "Well, that's really interesting." And what I learned was that this is actually a defense mechanism that you and I use all the time. See, when we feel guilty about something or we feel shame about something, we've done something wrong towards somebody, our natural reaction is to create distance from them. It's either a self-defense mechanism because we don't want the confrontation, we don't want the uncomfortableness. It's a self-punishment thing because we feel bad and so I don't deserve to draw near to this person. There's all kinds of reasons why we create that distance, and it's interesting because we actually do it with God. Instead of coming to Him as our Father, even in those times when we have messed up, we instead refer to Him as Lord, and we create distance. And the important thing to note on that is that it is you that creates the distance, not God. The Father never creates distance from you, because James says that if we will draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. So, watch, and that's kind of the gist of what I want you to watch as you pray this week. Do you start your prayers with Lord, creating distance, or do you start with Father, coming close to Him? Because at the way you address God and the way you come into Him is going to have an impact, is going to create a response. We see this in Isaiah. Isaiah 6, it says, Isaiah has entered into the throne room. He describes seeing angels and the robe of God. And this is his response as he realizes where he is. It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. That is an appropriate response. When we come into the presence of holy God and we have made a mess of things, it's, oh no. I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Ah! Distance. And what is it that God does? How does God respond to Isaiah's words? Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed. Your sins are forgiven." We create distance because of our sin, and God removes the sin so that there is nothing between us. And this is what God has accomplished for you. And this is why we need to be intentional and mindful with our words. We need to start with Father. But He doesn't just say Father. Jesus then said, Father in heaven. And this is the other side of it. Because we may be relationally close to God and can call Him Father, but positionally we are still very distant. He is God in heaven. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. And so we do not come to God flippantly. We need to watch our words. We said last week, right? Do not just mindlessly repeat yourself over and over again, but you come to Him humbly. Choose your words wisely, because He is still the Almighty and completely deserving of honor and supreme respect. And this is how we differentiate between these two things, relationship and position. If we get this right, our prayers look like, Father, I come to you with fill in the blank. And let's say, for the sake of an illustration, we'll come for healing, right? Father, relationally close, I can come to God about anything. Father, I really need you to heal this person. They're feeling sick. They're battling this. Whatever it is, Father, please move. But positionally, but I trust you to do the right thing. I trust that in your wisdom and in your power and in your plan and your will, that you will do what is best. Father, here it is, do what you can, versus Lord, relationally distant, but positionally close. You've got to heal this person because I said so, and if you don't, I'm going to be mad at you, I'm going to hold it against you, I'm never going to trust you again. Do you see the difference? This expectation that because I am who I am, I have prayed, and you've got to move because I said so. That is so arrogant. That is, and yet we pray like that. And what Jesus is saying in one line has completely eradicated all that. Father, here it is. I can come to you about anything because you love me and I love you, and I can just lay it all at your feet. Father, here it is. I trust you to do what you need to do. Versus, Lord, you've got to do this. And we do that. And maybe you've been taught that that's okay, and I hate to burst your bubble. No. This is, again, this is the Lord of the universe. You come to God humbly, respectfully. God, your will, not mine. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. And I love the way the New Living translates that. Because in the way that we have typically been taught the Lord's Prayer, it says, hallowed be your name. It sounds like a declaration, which it is, right? God's name is holy. It is above all other names. And so what if it is a declaration, it's a very true declaration. But if we want to honor the Greek, when Jesus actually taught this prayer, he's not making a declaration. He's making a request. God, may your name, and like I said, in the Old Testament and New Testament, your name was associated with who you are and your reputation. So Jesus isn't just saying your name. God, may you, your character, your reputation, may you be kept holy. And it is a request of ourselves to live in such a way that we do not bring ill repute to our God. God, may you be kept holy with everything that I do, with everything that I say, that I would live a life that shines your holiness to the world, that I serve a God that is different than any other God. May your name be kept holy in my life. May the way I spend my time, may the way I interact with other people, may the way I do everything. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians, it's a callback to the third commandment. Jesus is referring to this. He's saying, you must not misuse the name of your Lord, your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. As soon as he said, may your name be kept holy, his followers would have known exactly what he was talking about. May you not take the name of the Lord God lightly. May you not take God's character lightly. This is what I was looking for. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, eat or drink or whatever you do, may it all be done to the glory of God. Father, may all that I do in my life keep your name, your reputation. May the world know that you are a holy God because of the way that I live. So as I said already, so this is two lines. You didn't know there was all that packed into those two lines, did you? It says, this is just a prayer I've prayed all the time. One of the things I really want you to see as we dive into this and as I unpack each of these things, what Jesus has given us is the perfect prayer. Not a prayer that we just mindlessly recite, but it is everything that we need to pray at any given moment in 35 or so beautiful little words that you can say in 30 seconds. Our Father, thank you, God, that I can be so close in heaven, but I honor and respect the fact that you are the all-powerful, and may my life honor that fact. In all that I do, may you be kept holy. And so my challenge for you this week is, as you pray, be aware of how you pray, and more importantly, how you start your prayers. Do you start with Father? Do you draw close and have that relational closeness with him? Or you start with Lord and just start it all off as distant, that he is far off and you can't have that relationship with him? The best way to keep note of how you are praying, to be intentional with it, is actually to record your prayers. And I know that's a really weird thing to say if you've never done it before. It's something we've talked about in the Hearing God seminar. It's something that we've talked about in the Abide small group, that when we journal these things, it allows us to come back to it later on, but it helps us be mindful of what we are saying, why we're saying it, because we can see it and we're like, I did not mean to say that. And so if the intention is to grow and be more relational and come to Him as Father, then writing it out is going to help. And what you're going to find is as you are trying to be closer to God relationally, you begin to notice it in your day-to-day life with people. Who are the people that I naturally draw near to? Or who are the people that either I'm keeping my distance? And why is that, God? Is there hurt? Is there unforgiveness? Why am I creating that distance? Or you'll begin to notice that people are keeping their distance from you. Well, why is that? Have I hurt you? What? And that opens up a conversation because God has called us to love our neighbors as ourselves. So as we become aware of how we create distance from God, we'll become more aware of how we create distance from people, and that why are we doing that, and how can we fix that? Because we don't want to be distant. We want to be close. We want to love our neighbor. We want to love our co-worker. We want to love everybody because God has called us to this. So my challenge for you, start with your relationship with God. How are the ways that you are creating distance? Why are you creating that distance? And allow the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do, to heal what needs to be healed so that you are more prone to draw near to Him instead of stepping back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You that we can say, Father. I thank You that we can come to You with all that is going on, with our junk, with our mistakes, with our victories, with our families, with everything, we can come to You, Father, and lay it at Your feet and seek Your wisdom and seek Your guidance and entrust You to move in the ways that You do. Thank You, God, for the confidence in that. But may we never lose sight that You our God of the universe, and we must honor and respect that. May my prayers reflect a reverence for You. May I trust You to do what only You can do in a way that only You can do it. And above all, God, may Your name be kept holy. May everything I do, the words I say, the attitudes I hold, the things that I do, bring honor and glory. May it shine out to the world that I serve a holy God that is above all, that can do only what You can do. And I pray that for all of us as we work through this prayer that You gave us, Jesus. Our Father in heaven, may Your name be kept holy. May we be a people who draws near to our God every opportunity that we get. Father, move, be with us as we discuss, and do what only You can do. In Your precious name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. We are going to go into discussion. Here are the questions. Oop, just kidding. There they are. If you got to run, God bless. Have a great week. We will see you Wednesday. But if you can, please stick around and discuss. And as always, there's more questions on the app. Make sure you check that out. God bless. Have a great week.